And hop right into the word for today. I'm going to go ahead and put something here inside of the chat in our online campus for you to find our sermon notes. But go with us to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It's going to be our text today as we close out
Ghosts and Shadows,
the silent killers of relationships. And honestly, how was, for those who were here last week, how was going through this week? Were you all able to identify any ghosts and shadows that may have been going on in your life? I know that we have some real conversations.
conversations, and we were like, oh, there's our ghost.
There's the shadow
popping up. So yeah, it was helpful for even us. So we pray that it has blessed y'all.
Amen. So just to recap, babe, what are the definitions of ghosts and shadows?
I'm just going to put this out here. If you haven't already listened to last week's, you may want to listen to last week's. There was a lot of information we covered we can't possibly cover in this one, but we're going to give you like a short snippet. So we talked about ghosts and shadows and all that. We defined it for us last week. And ghosts is an adverse reaction triggered from something that happened in your past. That could be emotional baggage. That could be thoughts that you had, traumas that you went through, anything from your past. But a shadow is a current problem that's blocking you from being able to see God's love and God's insight in your life.
And so we understand that all of us have ghosts.
Yes.
All of us have shadows. That is the reality. Go ahead and accept that fact right now that you have a ghost.
I have a ghost.
And you have a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
I have a ghost. I have a shadow.
Yes.
So the question is not if we run into our ghosts, which are the things in our past that come back to haunt us, or shadows, which are current problems. The question is when.
So
when the ghosts and shadows arrive, the question we want to ask today is, what is your game plan? What is your game plan? And so it's important to have a game plan, because we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 in the Amplified, it says, to keep Satan from taking advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. So Lord, during our time today, bless the word that goes forward. We see that there are things that are going on and have been going on in our life, in our heart, that have tried to block us from seeing the light of your word, the insight that comes from being with you. So we say that we are aware that you are with us, you are for us, and when things arise, we pray your power to guide us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So I like this scripture right here, because Paul puts on blast, like, Satan has schemes.
He does.
In the King James Version, it says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Devices, schemes, better translates to, we are not ignorant of Satan's strategy. So Satan has a strategy of temptation.
He has a game plan.
He has a game plan.
He does.
And he has a way in which he tries to attack. And I can remember playing high school football my senior year. I went to be a safety. And so the safety, the free and the weak side safety, are the ones who go and get the big hits. And so we were playing a division rival, and our defensive coordinator scouted that this particular team runs the same play every third down and long yardage situation. And so
for those
who don't know, there's 10 yards. And so anytime it's beyond 10 or beyond 7 yards, they call it third and long. And so on third and long, this team runs the same exact play.
Hmm.
And in practice every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday during film, he said, Thomas, on third and long, this team runs what's called a misdirection, where they fake going one direction and they turn around and go a completely other direction. Well, when they turned around and went that other direction, they were coming directly toward where I was positioned and where I was stationed. And he said, Thomas, I want you to run through him like X-Lax. Like he said, I want you to run through that quarterback. And we watched that play over and over and over. And so we came into a third and long situation. And my defensive coordinator, I was playing in Texas. So Coach Rayburn, if you're watching, I remember you yelling from the sideline. You yell, Thomas, Thomas, here, watch the misdirection. Watch the. And so as sure as we watched it all 5 days, the quarterback faked like he was going one way. And he turned my direction, because my coordinator was not ignorant of their strategy,
that's right,
of their plays. But
But
I was so shocked.
Oh no.
That it actually happened the way he said it was going to happen. The quarterback looked at me like a deer in headlights, and I looked at him like I was a deer in headlights, like, I can't believe I'm about to hit you. And so we both kind of were stunned that it happened the way it did, and I just ended up tripping him up. I should have ran through him, and Coach Rayburn wasn't happy. So we are
just like a good coach. That's how the Holy Spirit is with us, right? Like, even in the Word of God, it says he tells us things to come. He tells us about Satan's schemes, and he gives us, we're going to kind of go through the schemes and the strategy of Satan, because he's given us the playbook, right? Yeah. Now it's just time for us to run the game.
That's right. So the only way to defeat a strategy is with a better strategy. So there is a strategy that Satan uses to get right to our flesh. And what your flesh is the unrenewed, the non-born again, the non-Christian, the gutter, the trap side
the
of
ratchet.
You, the ratchet side ratchet. Mm-hmm. That you don't want other people to find out. He does different things to trigger that side to make an expression. And so when you understand his tactics, then you can put on, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, the full armor of God. Mm-hmm. So that when he tries to trigger your non-born again side, you don't give in to his tricks and his schemes and his strategies.
That's
so we want to go through what is a better strategy. But before we go to the better strategy, I want to talk about some of our failed strategies that we've used. And all of these are listed inside of our notes for you to have.
So we call this AKA their failed strategies, or reasons we don't look within to address these ghosts and shadows in our life, right? So we know they're there.
And so failed strategy number one, and please, for those who are online today, help us online preachers and typing
in
for those who are saying.
I like it. Okay.
So here's the first failed strategy. It's the strategy of avoidance.
And the reason we tend to do this is because sometimes we're afraid of what we may find.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, I don't want to look too deep in that because it might bring up too much hurt. It may bring up too many memories or pain and of trauma. And I just don't want to go there. Right. And so in us not wanting to address it, we push it to the side.
Like, you know, and it's just grating on you day in and day out. And we're talking, you know, this is about the silent killers of relationships.
Yeah.
I love premarital or couples prior to marriage who they come in and there's so much joy.
They're so happy.
Not
and
saying
so
they
in
shouldn't
love.
Be. Not saying they shouldn't be. Like, you know, premarital sessions that they schedule for one, they're showing up at our office at like 12:30. Like, hey, how you doing? Ready to go. A marital session planned at one. They will be there at 1:01 and they're like, come on.
And they're shuffling in the door.
And there's this joy of, oh my gosh, we're in love.
Yeah.
We're going to spend the rest of our life together. We're getting the tools. And
we're so excited.
Oh my gosh. And we really don't argue. Like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. We don't. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my gosh, we don't argue. And I asked a simple question to see, like, have y'all talked about this? Well, no. Have y'all talked about that? Well, no. Mm. Well, you're not arguing because you're not talking about nothing that means something to the both of you.
So truly, you're avoiding the tough conversations.
Absolutely.
You're avoiding the substantial topics.
You know they tricking and they cheating, but you don't want to ask them. You avoid it for fear. Like, I don't even want to know. I don't even want to go through his phone.
I don't want to know about their past.
I don't want to go through her phone.
Yeah, because I don't know what I'm going to find.
Listen, so I'm. You know what? I'm just going to stick my head in the sand like a little ostrich.
Yeah.
And say my name is Bennett and I ain't in it.
Mm.
But that strategy is going to fail because you're going to end up facing what you're avoiding anyway.
Absolutely.
The second unsuccessful or failed strategy is the strategy of unnecessary activity.
AKA busyness.
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 I got to stay doing something. I got to keep moving. And we don't slow down long enough to have moments of stillness.
Mm-mm.
In our hearts.
True. And I think in our stillness is where we'll find God. There was a thing, I think it was by Rich Valletta, so OLI plug again. We talked about
it. I'll let leadership.
Yes.
It's coming up. So registration's coming up, so make sure y'all.
Yes, but it was talking about slowing down to catch up with God.
Mm.
You know, we need to slow down in order to catch up with him. God is not in the realm of busy. He's not in the realm of chaos. And a lot of times our life is filled with so many distractions, so many things we have to do that we don't set aside that time to really reflect on God, what's going on within me? You know, why are things tending to not go my way? Why do I keep hitting this bump in the road? What's happening? And the Lord is wanting us to slow down so he could talk to us in the stillness.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's why we encourage you, start with 6 hours a week where you're able to pour life back into you, 12.
Yeah.
And get up to a full 24 hours at least where you're able to slow down. And of course, there's always going to be things to do. There's always going to be something to accomplish. There's always going to be a call to make. And, you know, just even in this last week, again, we've been getting ready for our brand new facility. And Friday came and there were things I had to do. But I said, you know what? You know, if God can't do it and if I don't trust him with this day, then I'm showing that I'm trying to take matters to my own hands. And so when you slow down, you'll be able to find out what's going on within. And the third failed strategy that we want to bring up is the strategy of suppression.
Yes.
And those who suppress are more the peacekeepers rather than the peacemakers.
And there is a difference.
Yeah, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, meaning the peace that comes after conflicting viewpoints collide.
So these are your passive people.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that, you know, they realize that they have a ghost and shadow, but they just feel like if I don't give it any credence in my life, then it's not really there. No, it's still there. Like, and until you address it, it's gonna be there. And there's this one phrase that I don't know if you guys have heard, but I think it's the greatest myth ever. And it's people will say, well, you know, just leave it there because time will heal all wounds. Y'all, I don't know who lied and told us that, but time does not heal wounds. In fact, if you don't dig deeper, or we talked about it last week, looking past the surface, it's going to spring up at the most inconvenient
time. An inopportune time.
It is. Yeah. Because that's such a lie. So no, suppressing is definitely a failed strategy. It does not work.
And in relationships, whether it's business relationships, organizational relationships, in the home, ask yourself, are you propagating a culture of suppression? Hmm. Meaning because you're so moody, you're so temperamental, everybody has to walk on eggshells to make sure they say everything the right way. Or one thing that I'm learning as the leader of an organization, and this is a growing church, this is a growing organization, the longer that you lead and things continue to grow, the more options, the more decisions that you have. But one thing I noticed is when you are the one who is in authority, you have to be more focused and intentional on having accountability around you to be able to call out when you may be wrong or when there should be other viewpoints to look at. If no one can challenge your way of thinking, you're a tad bit far gone. And that is a subtle thing that takes place where every challenge to your thinking, you take as a challenge to your identity.
It's an attack, yeah. It's a personal attack, yeah.
And it's not. And we all need to be at a place where someone can say, I have friends in my life who can say, Vince, that is dead wrong. In our church, I have staff members who will tell me, Vince,
absolutely,
that is dead wrong and we don't agree. And the
because
reality
in that is love.
That's right.
You know, they only say it because they love you. They're not saying it to hurt you. They're really saying it because they love you.
And if you get into a tizzy, you get irritated just because someone didn't agree with you, check your ego at the door, because you're going to miss out on a vantage point, a perspective that you didn't consider because of your myopic view of the situation. All of us need every one of us.
Yeah.
None of us have it all together.
And let me tell you, and the ones who will tell you a lot about yourselves are the ones you live with the most.
Remember, you know, this morning you were saying a thought that came to you that in our marriage,
in our relationships, so if you're a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, family members close to you, they're going to trigger your shadows and your ghost, but it's not their job to heal that shadow and ghost.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, especially if you're married or your boyfriend, girlfriend, that person is going to trigger it.
All of them.
It's all going to come back.
All of them.
It is. The shadow, the ghost, the past, everything is going to trigger you. But when you get triggered, it is not to lash out at your spouse. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say, well, then, you know, since you triggered that, you should be the one to fix it. No, that's not their job. It was in there. They just brought to the forefront. It's our job.
So we have to, again, the failed strategies of avoidance, unnecessary activity, and suppression. We have to rid those out of our behaviors. Now, go with us to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. And we'll spend the rest of our time in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Because, again, we said we're not ignorant of Satan's schemes or his strategy.
That's right.
Then that means that God has a better scheme. He has a better strategy for us to walk in. And that's what we're going to spend the majority of our time. We're going to flesh out Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2. And so Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are about to enter and occupy, he will clear away many nations ahead of you. The Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites.
There are a lot of ites going on.
A whole bunch of ites. And, mm-hmm. and all these ites are significant. It says, these seven nations are greater and more numerous than you. Just such a dynamic tension in this text today. So it said God's going to clear these nations out. He lists the nations and he says these nations, however, are stronger than you. And it reminds us, if you are taking notes, also write down Romans chapter 7, verse 18. And so the promised land represents it's an earthly picture of our spiritual reality of accepting Christ. Sure. So when we accept Christ, that is the promise. Jesus is the promise. However, there are enemies that are fighting us from actually being able to live out that promise in our life and in our relationships. And what God is saying is, you know what? These enemies are there. I'm going to clear them out. But don't think because I'm clearing them out that you could take care of them on your own.
By yourself.
Romans 7:18 says, there is no good thing that dwells in our flesh. So as we break down what these ites represent, these are seven different types of temptations that we will face once we're born again. And what he's saying is, don't for one time think that you can overcome temptation by yourself.
No.
Overcome temptation in a vacuum. He said, absolutely not. If you are serious about living out the promise that he has for us, then you're going to understand what your enemy is. You're going to understand that he's going to help you do it.
Sorry.
And don't take matters into your own hands. Verse 2, it says, when the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you conquer them.
We have a responsibility now.
Have a responsibility. It says you must completely destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
So have you been there in your life where it felt like you beat something only to face it again? In your relationship, you all got through a tough season to only find yourself
in another tough season
or in a similar situation. That's because, yes, you're victorious, but in order to maintain and experience that victory, he says there's three things that you want to do, and these things we'll look at today. He says you must completely destroy them, number one. Mm-hmm. You need to make no treaties with them, number two. And you need to, number three, show them no mercy. But before we get into the actual strategy, let's take a look at
some of these ites
which serve as shadows that trigger our goats.
So when we looked at these ites, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, these people groups were, they faced certain things and they represented certain things. That's kind of what we're talking about when, so it's like, how'd y'all look that up? We looked it up based off of what the people group did.
Yeah.
And how they either afflicted the Israelites or just some of the things they did that were anti-God. So,
and so we're going to go through these really quick because this could be a sermon series by itself. Overcoming
temptation.
But we
did put these in the Bible app for you.
Yeah, in the sermon notes so you can have these and you know, for you to go back and see, because the reality is some of these ites are beating our head more than the other ites. But the truth of the matter is, there are ites that we all deal with.
Yes, there is.
So just because my ite don't look like your ite,
don't mean I don't have an ite.
And so we could really have made this a whole series, but we're just going to go through this on today. So the Hittites represent our need for approval from others before we obey God. The Girgashites represents indecisiveness or an unstable thought process. We're not sure. We're not principled in our thinking. The Amorites They represent arrogance, pride, conceit that will rob us from living out our promised life in our specifically relationships, but ultimately
in life,
in our life.
Yeah.
The Canaanites are the ites that are internally motivated by greed and lust.
We can say materialism.
An overconsumption
of materialism.
The Perizzites mean lacking discipline and boundaries. So these ites are robbing us of our promise. The Hivites, I like this about the Hivites. It says doing what feels right rather than doing what is right.
That's a lot of our society now. And I know back in the day we coined it YOLO. You only live once, which means I'm doing whatever feels right for the time, not really taking any thought for my tomorrow or my future.
And then finally, the Jebusites are, watch this word, intentional immorality. And so all of these shadows trigger ghosts from the past. And so when you see someone, or when you're experiencing the ites that come against you first in your mind, it's not the time as a church we're to judge. And often, unfortunately, that's how it comes across. But there does need to be a level of accountability that says, we really desire, as we said in the opening of this series, we want you to thrive in your personal life, your home, your local church, and in your community and business networks. And so these ites are every day going to try their best to trip you up.
Yes.
And when you find yourself getting whooped in the head by one of the ites, because listen, we all at one time or another, y'all create a safe network here. Say, hey, I've been there.
That's me.
You don't have to say what ite.
Me too.
But just say, I've been there.
Me too.
Where my head's been beat by one of these ites.
Yeah.
And the reality is there is a ghost that has not been dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I see someone who deals with, let's just take intentional immorality, what pain and at what level should we as a community surround you with so that we could help you heal, so that your lifestyle can reflect healing instead of pain? In any of these other areas, you know, why are people arrogant? Why are they prideful? Is it because they don't feel like they're affirmed? And where did that lack of affirmation really start? And where did it hinge from?
Why do people lack discipline and boundaries? Is it low self-esteem?
Or the need to be accepted?
Yeah, people pleasing.
So listen, y'all. If we first experience an ight in our life, we got to go back and realize there's some ghosts that are trying to rear their ugly heads. Or if we have individuals in our life who are showing these ights, it's not that they're doing things maliciously, but sometimes we lack awareness of what's going on within to deal with the root causes to our behavior.
That's true. Or they may be using some of those failed strategies we talked about, where they know they're there, but they're avoiding, they're suppressing, they're too busy, right?
Come on, y'all. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. So listen, we gotta disarm, you know, the church. Like, the church is always on the stance of, this is what we stand against. But let's talk about what we stand for. We stand for
Amen.
Hope. We stand for healing.
Yeah.
Our world is looking for hope. Relationships are looking for hope.
Yes. Yes.
My goodness, y'all. And y'all are pulling us today. And
keep going.
And listen. Listen. And I want to talk to marriages right now.
Amen.
Listen,
Amen.
Y'all. Listen. Listen. Stop being so doggone prideful. Own up. It's okay. It needs to be okay for you to say, hey, I need to be vulnerable. That's that Amorite that is trying to stop you from opening your heart and letting them in. And I know y'all have a lot going on. And I know there's so much that goes on in your mind. But the more you shut out your spouse, the more they feel isolated and alone. But we've got to use some of that humility to say, listen, I'm going through this, and there's a grace in your home right now to say, yes, we may deal with this, but we don't have to deal with it alone.
Amen. And I think a lot of this too, you know, when these ghosts and shadows come up and some of these ites come up and you see them within your spouse, right? So let's just say you're seeing something and you're not liking what you're seeing. I always say that the greatest act of love is the greatest mercy you'll show. right? So show that spouse some mercy. They're in a process too. We're all in a process, all of us, right? And we're not perfect. And sometimes we do see things. And honestly, because you're closer, you are going to see things that maybe other people don't see.
Absolutely.
Like, you're going to see the good, the bad, absolutely, and the ugly. We are of each other. But when we see those things, let's cover each other in prayer. Let's help each other to get through whatever that it is, that ghost, that shadow, by being vulnerable, by being intimate with each other. And I'm not talking about sexual. I'm just talking about conversational intimacy. Emotional intimacy. Because we need that from each other to help each other heal. Like I said, we're going to trigger each other.
Yeah.
But we also need each other to heal from that situation, too. Not that it's their responsibility to do so. But if you see it, help.
And stop spending more time with the ites than you do building your own promised land. Listen, we'll talk more about this next month in our next series in August about what we actually, it's a scientific result that what's in our heart is projected at least 10 feet out to others around us.
Wow.
And if we spend more time with the ites than we do with our own promised land.
So what does that look like in relationships? So that may be materialism. Well, I'm going to have my bank account full. I'm going to work on my career more than I work on my family. That's a lot of people, actually.
I mean, the laundry list can go on. We're not going to spend time on the laundry list.
But
all I'm saying is, don't invest more in these ites than you do your own promised land. Reach out for support. Reach out for help.
Yeah.
Listen, the Ash and I, as we said, we're walking through a process. We're walking through a journey, and it's requiring us to sit down with a whole bunch of different individuals who
and be vulnerable with them
and be honest and answer some tough questions. And normally, I'm the one on the other side of the Zoom camera, talking to people, trying to help them with their lives and empowering them. But when the role is reversed, I had an opportunity to sit where you sat. And fellas, if we could talk straight up, it's vulnerable. And it's tough for someone who knows what they're doing ask you a direct question to say, well, at least let's figure out why you're not achieving your goals. Mm-hmm. At least let's rule out any other reasons that could stop you from reaching your goals. And what are you doing to help your own cause?
Yeah.
That's tough for me to look at another person and say, well, this is where I'm at, knowing that I don't have everything that I believed I should have. But the reality is, we're not going to have anything that we believe for if we don't invite somebody else in to help us to get to where we need to get. And yes, it's vulnerable, but how bad do you want it?
Amen.
Fellas,
fight for your marriage. Fight, because the enemy is fighting against it. And for a lot of us, he's winning, not because he's more powerful, but because we're not spending more time working on this than we are out here.
And the reality is, the fight of our life that we're in has awakened the dog in me. And what I mean by that is not the one that dogs everybody out, but fellas and ladies who understand athletics and grit, there is a level of grit that you've got to have to get what you want. All of us in our marriages are going to have different battles and different fights. And I'm not going to talk about your fight, just like I hope you don't talk about our fight.
Right.
But one thing that I do know is that as a community, we need to band together and say, listen, you bring your dog every single day. You bring your dog every day you put your feet on the ground.
That's
bring the dog in your prayer life.
Yes.
Bring the dog in your home life. Bring the dog in your work life. Bring the dog in your love life, and come hell or high water, don't you relent until you get everything that you saw in the realm of the spirit. We got to bring the dog back to Christianity.
Yes.
We've been so passive of all the Lord will. No, it ain't no passivity. Grace is activated by your feet moving forward.
Yes.
And this
faith
dog
that
faith started in the house is the same dog that showed up to the church. When the dog woke up in this house, it changed the trajectory
everything.
Of our entire ministry. Who you are at home is who you bring to work.
Yes.
So if you want to see your career take off, you want to see your life take off, bring that dog in the house. Take authority over things that aren't right.
Yes.
Say that this is the day that God has made, and I'm choosing to rejoice.
Yes.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Wake that dog up, y'all.
Yes.
Wake that dog up.
Amen. I'm just reminded of the scripture. It says, when the enemy comes in, You should put a comma right there. Like a flood, raise up a standard of godliness to fight against that enemy. This is what he should be hitting when he attacks your family, because it's not an if, it's a when.
That's right.
It's a win. And whenever he comes to you, there's a spiritual warfare going on. And as Ben says, bring that dog. Bring that active, bring not no passive faith, bring not it. No we'll see faith. No, bring no, no, no. You bring that, Lord, this is what it is. Bring this is it. Who you've shown yourself to be. And bring this is who we're going to serve. And this is who our family is going to submit up under. And this is what we're going to have. You got to start declaring the promises of God. This is why confession is so important.
He won't keep my mouth shut.
No.
If it's a fight Satan wants, listen, get it. It's a fight that he's going to get.
That's right. He got the, look, your stand should be, he got the right one today.
He got the right one. He got the right one.
That should be your stance. Amen.
As y'all can tell, we're a little fired up. Because we just got, as a body, just so passive. Letting life just run all over us. Letting your marriage that you prayed for, that you stood up there at that doggone altar, said all them nice little cute vows, spent all them thousands of dollars. First of all, it's too much.
Amen.
Well, you better fight for that.
Fight for that. Fight. Yes. Shoot. Yes.
All right. Now, let's end with talking about the best strategy. And so Deuteronomy 7:2. It talked about that there were things that we needed to do once we were God had conquered. So it always, it says, and we see it in 1 Corinthians, thanks be to God who always calls us to triumph. But living out that triumph and victory is not automatic. And so there are things that we have to do. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the whole armor of God. But it says that once you conquer them, you must completely destroy them, make no treaties with them, and show no mercy. So let's talk about what that looks like.
Let's break down. So we're going to talk the first one. It says, the first strategy, completely destroy them. Well, that sounds easy enough, but let's kind of dig into what this word destroy means. And it simply means to consecrate. So take whatever that ghost, that shadow is.
That it is. Yeah.
And it says completely consecrate and surrender this to the plan of God. We say, well, how do I do that? And what does that look like? That looks like taking your desired outcomes out of the equation.
Somebody put that in the chat.
That's what that looks
like. I want somebody to read this later. The way that you completely destroy strategy one is you take your desired outcome out of the equation.
Yes. So this is taking all your self-interest, all the me's and the what I should do and the selfishness, and taking it completely out and saying, Lord, with this, I'm giving this wholly to you.
Number two, the best strategy. So number one, completely destroy them. Number two, make no treaties with the ites. Make no treaties. So what that means is don't allow yourself to make accommodations, compromises, or excuses for the lack of progress in your healing of your shadow.
So that looks like complacency. Well, I'm just like this.
You know how I am.
Well, I had too much happen to me, so I'm not.
I'm too old to change.
I've heard that, yes. Or this is my stance, and he better come like this, or she better come like that, because that ain't happening to me no more. That's hurt talking. That's trauma talking.
And that's making a treaty with an ite.
Yeah.
And when you make a treaty or compromise with an ite, you end up limiting the quality of the promise that you have the opportunity to walk in.
Because God desires to heal those places.
Amen.
He desires to heal them. So number three.
Number three.
Show them no mercy.
And so what that means is refusing to settle for mediocrity or anything less than God's best for your life. You do not have to settle for abuse because you're afraid that no one else will love you. You don't have to settle for infidelity because you don't believe that you'll be able to go on and live your life completely whole and healed.
Sorry, and this looks like suppression, right? Like you got these eyes that you're suppressing because you don't want others to find out what you're going through. You're afraid of judgment, even. So with showing them no mercy, you've got to refuse to say, okay, good, bad, ugly, whatever this looks like, I'm about to get healed. whatever I'm dealing with, I'm about to get healed. And it's not setting up permanence in a temporary space. See, sometimes, like you said, we start to adapt our life and adjust our life to a life of mediocrity because maybe we're too afraid to believe for more, or maybe thinking we don't deserve more. But y'all, God desires to do that and some, heal you and some. What does Ephesians say? Above and beyond.
All that we can
ask. All that you can ask or think. But you have to allow yourself not to settle in that space.
And so when you find yourself in a problem, don't set up a permanent residence in a temporary situation.
That's right.
Or don't make permanent decisions when you're emotional.
Hmm.
That means, you know, you're thinking about ending the marriage.
Oh, Lord.
Are you mad?
After a fight. Right after a fight. Yeah.
Are you upset? Well, that's that feeling is an emotional, a temporary response.
That's
don't
right.
Don't make these permanent decisions and stop saying these permanent words.
Mm.
Come on, y'all. We grown.
I would just throw divorce out. Divorce ain't even on the table.
We grown. Only way is divorce is if we both sit down and see that, you know what, life would be more peaceful after godly counsel and and professional counsel.
And putting in the work. So we've been noticing this trend, y'all. We're just going to be very, very honest, where mental health therapy is beginning to be bigger. Right, it's beginning to be more acceptable, more common. And we go to these therapists, we go to these people looking for a magic wand to wave us back to how we used to be or back to normal or whatever. And that's not happening unless we put in the work. So when you go to your therapist, when you go to your counseling, take those tools, practice them at home. And then, after so many months of practicing, right? Because it's not going to be just one time and it's going to be all gravy. No, you got to put this stuff constantly into practice.
I mean, you got time. You stood up there and said, till death do we part. So we got 6 months to go all in.
I say at least give yourself a year. Give yourself a year of practicing
the
tools.
Practice the strategy.
And after a year, after you've practiced, both of y'all practice these tools and it's still not coming together, then we can talk.
But at least we've exhausted all
everything.
Options. Don't ever leave without exhausting all options. You never want to live a life of regret because then you start drinking away your regrets.
Oof, that's another thing.
We're not going to deal with that today. But listen, let's do this. But we've got good news with these strategies.
Amen.
These are bold strategies. If you're real about getting rid of the ites, the shadows, and the ghosts, taking these strategies, we've got good news.
We got good news, and it's the Holy Spirit will help us and teach us how to not live under the shadow of our past, but under the shadow of the Almighty.
And
we hope that sounds familiar. But Psalms 91:1 says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High," it says, "will find rest." Did it say might find rest?
No, will.
Did it say could find rest?
Will.
No, will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen. Amen. And we just want to put a bow on this series. Of course, there's more that we could say. We want to thank you all for being a part of something that is so near and dear to our heart. We want to empower, equip, develop, and deploy the body of Christ to thrive in their personal lives, in their local church, and in their community. And we believe that dealing with our ghosts and shadows are going to help us to do just that. And this is not an overnight thing.
No.
But this is something that our church is set up to help people do. And we'll talk more about that in the month of August on next week. We'll delve into this. We're just getting started, y'all. We are excited. We believe in what God has called you to do.
Yes.
We believe that we're set up to help you to live that out. Yes. And so if you would today, just join us in prayer for anybody who's dealing with any ites or shadows, ghosts, and they're just robbing you of the joy of your life. Ash and I want to pray with you today. So, Heavenly Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters.
Thank you, Lord.
Those who are a part of the body of Christ, God, I'm asking that as we've said in your word, that we've communicated in your word, that you are for them, that you are with them, that you'll never leave them, and you'll never forsake them, Father God. Father, in the moments where it seemed dark because of the shadow, the present problems, Let them see beyond the shadow to see your light that is there, to guide them and to show them your love and your salvation. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for our ministry, that we be a safe place, that we be a safe community where people can be open and honest about what's going on in their life. And as a result of being what's going on in their life, God, that they will begin to see transformational change. We realize that we are blessed in the way that we are because you want to see people to avail themselves to your plan and your power to flow through them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you prayed with us, please text us and just say, I prayed with you. The number is 770-667-4899. Again, it's 770-667-4899. That is the number for everything. If you want to help us, you're part of our leadership team, which we call our core team. The core is really important to the health of the body. Yes. So we're definitely looking forward to re-engaging the core. And wherever you feel safe, however you feel safe, whatever you can do is going to help us a mighty long way. We want to receive today's offering. I know that we've gone. We're just pouring our hearts out to you. There are three ways to give at the outlet, by texting the number 73256 and the letters TOC. You can complete a gift that way. You can go to theoutletcommunity.com/give, and you'll be able to see our accountability as well as give there. And you can Zelle the outlet, which is a very efficient way to sow into the ministry, by entering the email address give@theoutletcommunity.com. Give, G-I-V-E. @theoutletcommunity.com. We thank you all in advance. Truly, it's your generosity that allows us to
be a
fully hybrid ministry, yes, which was what God called us to do at the beginning of COVID. And we are being just that. And so looking forward to next week to fully engaging our ministry and expanding from there. We're going to be meeting some of the gentlemen who are a part of our parking teams, or if anybody wants to be a part of our parking team, security team, and our logistics team. We're going to be meeting at the building in 30 minutes at about 11:30, 750 Glenwood Avenue, Atlanta, Georgia, 30316. And we're going to walk the perimeter and with the fellas, the men of the outlet. We're going to secure the perimeter. And we're going to take up our rightful place in the church. So,
amen.
1 week away.
1 week.
1 week.
1 week. So wow. We're on the countdown.
Well, we love you all so much. We thank you for being a part of our online broadcast. Please know that we are here for you. We are here to serve. We love you so much. And we say, Father, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, may he guard your heart and your life through Jesus Christ. We say shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken over you. We say this will be the best week of your life. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless. See y'all.
See ya.